Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. What a great place to start from. You know one of the advantages of only preaching every 6 to 9 months or so? I can use the same sermon over and over again with a little window dressing, and you've forgotten already what I said last time. See, I always feel bad for Pastor Paul. He's got to come up with something new and fresh every week. Me, I get to recycle the old stuff. So, you know, I will say, though, sometimes you still go, what's a topic to talk about? Where do we start? And I decided kind of start really just with the basics, experiencing and knowing God. So one little spoiler alert, you may not learn anything new this morning. It may be the same old stuff, but you know, sometimes the same old stuff is exactly the basics we need to be reminded of. Michael Jordan used to go out in the basketball court and after every game or after every practice. At the end of the practice, I think it was him, and I also heard Stephen Curry of the Warriors says this too, shoots over 100 free throws after practice is over. Why? Because he said it's at the end of the game. It could be in the game when you're tired. You need to still be able to make that free throw. So he would practice at the end of practice. So we had a meeting at our at work the other day. You know, just like turning your microphone on makes it work better, so does turning on the remote. It's amazing that. Oh, look at that. We had a meeting at work the other day, and we were talking about the basics. What is the secret sauce of what our division does that makes us successful? And it is remembering the little things, the basics. I don't know how many of you remember John Wooden, the legendary UCLA basketball coach in the 70s. Now, this is legendary. Yeah, Dave remembers. He's old like me. 10 national championships in a row. 10 years in a row, UCLA won the national championship. Never been done again in sports, never been done in any sports whatsoever, that kind of consistency. One of the amazing things about that, every year he started the very first practice with this statement. Men, this is how you put on your socks and tie your shoes. And he actually took them through that. And you go, what? And he said, you know what? You got to get that sock on just right. You don't want it a little bunched up by the little toe. You get it bunched up by the little toe, you get a blister. That blister may impact how you run up and down the court. You got to know how to tie your shoe. We don't want that shoe becoming undone and you trip and fall. Think of how many basketball games you've seen or sports games that are decided by a single point. That blister, that loose shoelace could be 1 point. At 1 point could be the difference in victory. So there's sometimes the basics that are so, so important. So this week, we're going to look at one of the basics of our faith. And it doesn't get much more basic than this. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. We're going to spend a little time dwelling in that space. It is simple. It is profound. It's really the crux of what we believe. And if it's good enough for these three people, it's absolutely good enough for me. Now, you may or may not recognize the three people on the screen. So just in case you don't, I'd like to introduce them all to you. And I'm going to tell you, first off, the one thing all three have in common, all three absolutely adore the song, Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, For the Bible Tells Me So. The two men you see there are considered the foremost Protestant theologians of the 20th century, Karl Barth and Francis Schaeffer. If you voted for Karl Barth as the top theologian, or if you didn't vote for him, the odds are you voted for Francis Schaeffer. Those two really helped us understand our theology and our faith. Now, Karl wrote volumes of books, volumes and volumes of books. And one day a reporter came up to Karl and said, Karl, all this stuff that you've written, you've delved down into the exegesis and all these different facets of our faith. How could you sum it up? What really is at the core of what you believe? And he goes, it's simple. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Everything he'd ever written, all the deep and depth he went to, he came back to this song. Francis Schaeffer, we talked about him, another theologian, actually started. He grew up, he was born in the U.S. in Germantown, Pennsylvania, actually not far from where I grew up. He went over eventually to Switzerland and started a place called L'Abri, which was a conference center, retreat center Libri means a shelter, and he wanted it to be a shelter, a safe place for people to come to discuss any questions they had about God or anything in life. He said, the Bible is strong enough. It can withstand any debate you want. So come. Come with your questions. Everything's on the table. And he used his faith and his understanding of the Bible to talk about politics, art, anything. He actually became a Christian at the age of 17 because he picked up the Bible one day for the first time and decided, what's this all about? And he actually read it cover to cover. And when he was done, he said, wow, there's a powerful God in there. And there's a power of a message of love and redemption. And he asked Jesus into his heart because he read the Bible. And he says, my favorite hymn? I bet you're not going to be able to guess. You might have a clue. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Which brings us to Amy Carmichael, a woman represented in the group here. Amy Carmichael, in the mid-20th century, was a missionary to India. Served there 53 years without a sabbatical. Just served God, served the people, created an orphanage there to take care of the Hindu kids that had been just thrown away, basically, or pulled into the temple prostitution, and just served her whole life. She actually became a Christian when she heard a children's choir sing, wait for it, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And she saw the simple beauty of that. Jesus loves me. And turned her heart over to God because of that simple, simple message. What a wonderful, wonderful, beautiful message. So it is a great message, and if we pulled that apart a little bit, it's worth just reviewing why this is so profound, even in that simple phrase. First off, it starts with Jesus, the Son of God, the Creator of all, the Lord of the universe, loves me. David in the Psalms wrote once, what am I that God would know who I am, that God would care? But Jesus, the God of the universe, loves me. Loves, not just is aware of, indifferent to, kind of likes, puts up with. That describes probably sometimes how our spouses feel about us on a given day. No, I'm sure they all love us. Jesus loves me. He loves me. Jesus said in the book of John, there's no greater love than to lay down one's life for his friends. And yet Jesus laid down his life when we weren't even treating him like a friend. There's a verse in the Bible, and you hear me, almost any time I preach, I'll bring this passage up. It's probably one of the most well-known verses in the Bible, and sometimes we hear it so much, we roll our eyes, oh brother, here we go again. But it's said so often because it is so profound also. John 3:16, for God, what? So loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. What's more powerful than that? That's a verse, yes, we say it all the time, but it's worth saying all the time. And then what about the third word in this? Jesus loves who? Me. It's amazing, he loves me. Me, think about that. This is personal. This is not an accident. This is not just, oh, about Jesus loving you and we have self-image issues and go, but he'd never love me. Oh, no. Nay. John Pignette, if you ever watch him as a comedian, nay. Nay, Jesus loves me. Quick little exercise. You can do this. Every one of you, I know you can do this. Who has an index finger? If you have an index finger, hold it up. Take your one index finger, hold it up. And on the count of three is what we're going to do. You're going to take that index finger, and when I go one, two, three, you're going to pull it in and point to your chest and say, me. And we're not just going to say it, we're going to shout it. Me! Ready? One, two, three, me! Now, some of you did okay. Some of you were just like, me. We're going to shout this one out. Now, ready? One, two, three, me! Okay, now you're ready for the advanced course. Now, I'm going to say, Jesus loves. And we're all going to shout me and point to ourselves. We're going to do that. I have so much confidence. We're going to go for three in a row. You ready? Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. That's the beauty of the song. The God of the universe loves me. And you get to point to yourself, it's me, it's not the other guy, it's not the neighbor down the street, it's not the pastor. I mean, he does love the neighbor down the street and the pastor and all those people, but he loves me. What a beautiful, beautiful statement. And then, I know. Not I think, I wonder, I suppose, it could be, possibly, do you think there's any chance? I know that Jesus loves me. I love that. I love being certain about things. Some people I work with say, you always act like you're certain about things. I know Jesus loves me. And how do I know? I know because the Bible tells me so. It's in the Bible. The Bible does tell us all about it. And God has given us absolutely a great gift in the Bible. He's given us his inspired word so we can know him and we can experience him. And you know what? There are many ways to know and experience God. Many, many ways. You can see some of them up here. We experience God when we take communion. And we take the elements in nature. The psalmist said, your heavens declare your glory. Some of us will sit, and I say, I feel God, I experience God when I'm sitting out amongst the trees or by a babbling brook. We experience him in worship. You're all here today, hopefully touching base with God a little bit. We prayer. We can spend time talking to him. Service. We can know God as we serve others. Family. Within our family, we see the love that's there. Fellowship. We get together. We enjoy each other. Praise. We praise him. One of the ways we also, though, as we have is the Bible. So it's not the only way. It's one of many ways, but it is the way we're going to focus on today. There's definitely an opportunity in the Bible. It's a resource we all have at our fingertips. If, as in the children's sermon, we actually take it off the shelf and open it up. The difference in a book only happens when you open it up. You know, and guys, this one's for you and me. I know we don't like to ask directions or read the owner's manual. But think of the amount of mistakes you could avoid in life if you picked up God's owner's manual and actually read it and followed it for once. So let's explore a little bit what some of the writers of the Old Testament and the writers of the Bible and Jesus, the New Testament, and some of the pillars of our faith said about the Bible. Because all the people we are going to talk about know that this book is a love story waiting to happen. This is not a book we use to clobber people over the head and talk to them about these and thous and rules and regulations. It's a love story. It's a love story, and it's an owner's manual to say, here's a great way to live. What did David say? Stacy read some of the words from Psalms. Psalms 119. By the way, if you ever, I was tempted to tell Stacy, just read all of Psalms 119. It is a beautiful chapter on the Bible, on the Word. Fortunately, it's such a long chapter. Had we done that, we could go get some coffee and come back in an hour and should just be wrapping up. It's the longest chapter in the Bible. So we just picked a few verses. But one of the things David said is, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I praise you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. I have recited aloud all the regulations you've given us. I've rejoiced in your laws as much as in riches. I will study your commandments and reflect on your ways. I will delight in your decrees and not forget your word. Because your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. Don't we all at some time in our life want a clue for what path to take and how to go down it? Lord, just show me the way. This book, this Bible, can be a light for that path. And I love this picture, and I love what I learned from Pastor Wes. Remember when he talked about this lamp once? These little tiny lamps gave you just enough light to see about a step or two ahead of you. We sometimes say, well, God, I'd like to see the whole path. I want to see how it lays out. You know what God said? You want the truth, you can't handle the truth. You know what? If I saw the whole path ahead of me in my life, it might scare the dickens out of me, and I might never take that path. God lets us know just what we need to know for that day, and he'll take us one step at a time if we just trust him. We have a little light, the lamp that lights our path from the one who loves who? One, two, three. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. From the one, the creator of the universe, who loves me. He has a personal little light here, a little lamp to guide our path. What a wonderful, wonderful promise in this book. Jesus said, "This is the way to eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth." Jesus said, "Know me. If you know me, that will lead to eternal life." And here's something that's interesting. We have this men's Bible study that meets at 8 o'clock on a Saturday morning, which is a commercial, by the way. Any guys? Let me tell you, it's a fun time. If you want to be able to laugh and have some fun, and at the same time, read about this manual, show up in the church library at 8 o'clock. Just give it a try. You don't have to commit for years. Come once. See if you like it. But one of the things we were learning, we happen to be studying the book of John right now, and it made a point, when do you think eternal life begins? Most of us said, well, of course I die, go to heaven, and my eternal life starts. Nay, nay. Our eternal life begins the moment we ask Jesus into our hearts, and it begins today. It begins now. It's already in place. We don't have to wait till we die. There's two things. There's the eternal, the permanent, forever, and there's the temporal, the temporary, the earth. And once we ask Jesus into our hearts, the eternal begins. We can start living that eternal life. We can start living that life of following God now. We don't have to wait until we die. What a beautiful thing. Our eternal life begins today. But it's not just about knowing God. Knowing God is important. The other part of this title was knowing and experiencing God. Why is experiencing important and not just knowing? Can I tell you a story? Labor Day week, Debbie and I decided we were going to drive to Buffalo, New York. Why? Because our niece and nephew just had a little child, and we were honored, blessed to be named godparents. So we're going to go to Buffalo to see our goddaughter for the very first time. She was born mid-August. I'm very excited to go see her. Full transparency, true confession. If I had to sit for a whole week just holding a baby, Googling at it, I would go bored to tears. I love my goddaughter, but I am not the guy. Okay, she's sweet here. when she's ready to play catch, give me a call. Now, so I knew me sitting around just all week long, I'd go stir crazy. So I said to them, "Hey, I'm coming up. I'm going to be there a week. I can bring the truck up. I'll bring some tools, whatever. But do you have any projects you'd like me to do? Can I help out while I'm there? Of course, we'll visit. We'll hold the baby. We'll smile. We'll coo. But if you need anything, let me know." I was a little surprised where they went with this. "Hey, Uncle Bruce, do you think you could build us a deck?" "Oh, sure." Never mind, I'd never built a deck before. "Well, I guess I'm building a deck, honey. So what do I do?" "Well, I bought that book. Truth be told, I bought two books and watched 6 YouTube videos." Because Lord knows, somewhere between in the next 6 days from when I got this news to me showing up there, I was going to have to know how to build a deck. So I read it. I read the book. I watched the YouTube videos. But what would have happened if it stopped there? First off, what if happened if I bought the book but never opened it? "Well, I got the book. Got it right here. Don't worry, I got a Bible. Boy, I got 6 of them. Great books. Right over there on the shelf. Brand new condition. Never been used." What if my book was like that? What if my deck book was never used? The spine was never cracked open. What good would it have done? Or what if I just read the book? "I know the book. I know decks inside and out. I'm your man. Look, I drew up the plans. Here's your plans. Have a plan. Great looking deck, isn't it?" It's all the farther we got. Do we ever do that with our faith? Ever do that with what we know about God? I know God. Now, don't ask me to do anything about it, but I know him. I read the book. That's knowing. That's knowing about decks. And if I just knew about decks, this is what we would have still had. This is what they walked me back to. Said, "Here's my backyard. Can you make a deck there? I'm like, well, do you have any idea what you'd like that to look like? Well, I don't know, just build a deck. Okay. So we went, read the books, watched the YouTube videos, and then instead of just knowing about a deck, decided it was time to figure out what I knew and put it into action. This is 3 days later. So 3 days later, we took that weed-filled area and we created that living space. Why? How? Because we didn't just know it. We put it into action. We lived out what we knew. And our backyard was transformed. And God gave us a manual here and said, if you live out what you know, you, me, we can be transformed. And not only can we transform ourselves, this transformed the neighborhood. Well, maybe not the whole neighborhood, but by that first night, it was interesting. He sent me photos. The first floor of that house, actually, they rent out. There's already that very first evening, his tenants sitting out on the back deck, reading a book, enjoying it. So we transformed not only ourselves, we transformed an area, and God said, I want to transform you. I've given you the instructions. I've given you the manual. Read it, know it, experience it, and live it out, and it can be life-changing. So, you know, our background, we're Methodists, right? Founded from John Wesley. The reason we're called Methodists is because John Wesley had a methodical way of studying the Bible. See a connection there? Methodist, methodical. And that was, John Wesley was the founder of our church. So what did John Wesley think? If we're going to start, let's start a little bit about John Wesley. What would he say about the Bible? John Wesley says the Bible is a foundation of what we believe. It is the inerrant word of God. He says, as Methodists, he believed we were fully and totally devoted to the teachings of the scripture as being absolutely essential for the task of keeping and renewing a Christian faith. Now, I could go on for weeks sharing you quotes and things that John Wesley said about the Bible because this was the heart and soul and passion, but I'll share one quote just so you can still get out of here. Packers play at noon. We don't want to miss that. Here's one quote from John Wesley. Here I am. I and my Bible, I will not, I dare not vary from this book. Either in great things or small, I have no power to dispense with one jot or tittle what is contained therein. I am determined to be a Bible Christian, not almost, but altogether. Who will meet me on this ground? Join me on this, or not at all? What an amazing thing. John Wesley said, the scripture is where it begins. God gave us this divinely inspired book, and here's a place to start looking. Now, you see up here the Wesley Quadrilateral, big fancy term. Pastor Wes has talked about it. Pastor Jeremiah has talked about it. Actually, it wasn't devised by John Wesley. Actually, it's a gentleman by the name of Albert Outler. Albert Outler was probably known, not probably, he was known really as the first United Methodist theologian recognized on a broader sense. So he's kind of like, if you're a United Methodist, he's our hero. He's our Tom Brady. He's our Jay Cutler. He's our whatever hero you want. He's our hero of theology for United Methodists. And he's the one that actually put together this concept of the Wesley Quadrilateral. And he said it first starts, like Wesley, in the scriptures, foundational, divinely inspired, and inerrant. That's where it all begins. That doesn't change. He said, let's talk about these other three pieces. Reason. He said, you don't have to throw your intellect away to understand the Bible or to believe in the Bible. It will hold up, like Francis Schaeffer said, it will hold up to scrutiny. And we use our reason, our intellect, to help us understand what we read and believe. Tradition. He said, if you're trying to figure out what the Bible's saying, one place to look. Look back at the 2,000-year tradition the church has of what the Bible says. There's probably good reason. It's held up over that amount of time. Experience. And this, I love it. I added the cross in this because it really exemplifies more what Outler meant by experience. He said, the Bible is not just to be read, it's to be experienced. The experience we need to know and understand the scripture through the experience of God's redemptive grace. He said, that's how you know scripture. It changes you as you experience it. Now, this may surprise you. Towards the end of his life, Albert Outler actually said, "There's times I regret creating the Wesley Quadrilateral." Huh? The guy who wrote this said, "I have regrets." He said, "You know why I regret? The experience should be just what we just talked about. You need to experience Scripture, and the Bible needs to shape our experience." He said, "So many people have taken what I've written on the Wesley Quadrilateral and turned that upside down. And they said, I'm going to use my experience of the world to reshape and reinterpret what the Bible says." He says, "You got that backwards. The Bible needs to shape our experience. The Bible needs to shape our world, not the other way around." And he said, "This has been so misused and abused, I'm sad. The Bible is where it starts. The love of God, Jesus loves who? Jesus loves me. One, two, three. Jesus loves me. It starts there. And let's shape that and that experience. It can transform us." The key is, we've got to read it. We've got to read it to know Him, to experience Him, to help it transform us so we can transform a world. We need to live it out. And by living it out, we can change ourselves, God can change us, and we can change the world. And it really just comes back to that basic theme. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. We want to help you in every way we can to read and know the Bible. And that's why on the table back there, you're going to find some Bibles. And those Bibles, like God's grace, are a free gift to you. Pick one up. If you need a Bible, a good Bible to read, I highly recommend the New Living Translation study guides. Why? First off, there's nothing wrong probably with whatever Bible you have in your house. The King James Bible is fine. But let's be honest, the King James Bible was written in 1611. Now, I don't know about you, but language keeps changing. In the last 5 years, it keeps changing. We twit, we tweet, we twerk, you know, all these new different words. So imagine how much has changed since 1611. So I will tell you, what I like about this is taking the Bible, maintains its accuracy, and puts just in simple common English that we use and understand today. The second thing is, let's face it, the Bible is a very complicated book, very complex. Theologians have studied it for centuries. And so this particular study guide has what they call life application notes. Not just a study guide to say, hey, Persia was in power from the year 712 BC to 422 BC. This says, here what you read, here's how it applies to your life. So we have these for you free. Now, we may not have bought enough. We bought 35 Bibles and a bunch went out for service. So here's the deal. If you go back there and there's not one there, there's a sign-up sheet. Put down your name, your phone number, and check off whether you want either the regular print size or the large print size. We do have them both. I will also say, it looks like we underestimated the demand for the large print size. I might tell you something about the age of our congregation. Anyway, these will be available for you. If they're gone when you get back there, these are free for the taking. The only thing we ask is one thing. Like God's grace, you got to do something for it, and that's just you got to read it. You have to accept it. So the only thing we ask is open it up. If you take one, open it up when you get home. But they're free for you. We want you to have. We want you to read the Bible. And like I say, if they're gone, just put your name on the list. We'll order them. It might take about 2 weeks, three at the most, but I think we should have them within 2 weeks, and we'll get some more in, and we'll make sure we order them for you. And check off on the paper. There's a column there for either large print or regular font. Just check which one you want, and we will get those for you. Also, by the way, back there is just a little quick start guide. This is kind of like if you ever bought computers or anything and you don't want to go through the whole manual, here's just a couple pages. This is a wonderful little reference tool that just gives you a quick summary of each book of the Bible. But part of it, what I love, is in the back of it, it's I should put my glasses on, finding help in the Bible. Where are some references for being a friend, for being a leader, for caring for the aged and the widow, for celebrating a graduation, for celebrating a marriage, all kinds of topics, and it gives you some verses. Tells you. So anyway, these, we have 50 of these back there. Feel free to grab one of those too. These are a gift to all of us. So it looks like I Sorry, I must have clicked through to the appendix. Jesus loves who? Jesus loves me. This I know, because the Bible tells me so. This is a wonderful, wonderful book. We have a wonderful, wonderful God who has revealed himself in this book and wants to change our lives. I encourage every one of us to take advantage of this blessing. Use it, read it, and change your life.